Y'all, thanks for
taking the opportunity to come here today. I know y'all got busy schedule. It's a beautiful Friday afternoon outside. There's a draft coming up here in a couple days, and I'm sure you guys will have some questions, so feel free. I'll answer any questions.
What are you thinking?
Best available player. You know, I've heard, you know, we all hear the stories about how deep it is. It's probably a combination of things. It's probably the marquee positions where there are depth. It's probably the influx of a large number of juniors that have decided to come out in the 2014 draft. So I think that's what kind of makes it deep. I think there's good football players to be found in every round. Well, if they're ready to play football, I like that. But
how often is that?
Well, I think that's where you do your homework. Sometimes guys make hasty decisions. Some guys make the proper decision. It's the best advice that they give. You know, there's a process within the league itself. There's a junior selection committee that they're allowed to submit their request to see where they kind of fall within the draft. And I think what they do, once they get the assessment back, from the NFL, they'll sit with their support staffs, their coaches, whoever, to help them make that proper recommendation for what's in their best interest.
John, how many guys in your projections do you imagine you'll be choosing from at 23? I mean, do you play those games at all?
Right now we kind of broke for lunch. We've kind of been at it since about 7 o'clock this morning. We're in the final preparation plans of putting this thing together. And now kind of what you do is you begin to play the hypothetical games. You begin to not only look horizontally, you look vertical. And then you begin to, you know, narrow your choices down. And then you have to build in those hypotheticals too. What happens if you decide to trade up? What happens if you decide to trade back as well? So you have to factor that in there. But I think there's a certain pocket there. It's really interesting to get a grouping of, you know, I'd say about four. I mean, you can narrow it down to about four that you think. Now, it's so hard to predict when you're sitting in the back there in the 20s and the 30s who's going to fall to you, because so many different scenarios can occur in this process. So what you do is you have to try to think out every little step as you go along the way, just to protect your interest and the interest of the Kansas City Chiefs when it does come time to select those players.
From your experience with Green Bay, when you're picking toward the end of the round, how many years were you really surprised by what was there for you when it was your turn to pick, or what wasn't there? There was a guy maybe you were convinced would be there and wasn't, or vice versa?
I don't think you can rush the judgment. I think there's a degree of patience. Sometimes let it come to you. If it comes to you, you know, good things may happen. But if you see a player sometimes that you go, gosh dang, I'd really like to have him on my team, let's roll up there and see if we can get a trading partner to go up. But then again, if there's not really a player who you feel can help you early on, trade back. So that's why you're actively, you know, setting some limits with other teams in terms of, okay, you know, are you willing to trade up? Are you willing to trade back? So that's kind of why you do the legwork now. And just that way it helps you as you on that draft day.
So if you trade back,
yep.
How much of that is that there's nobody at your spot that you're really in love with, or what the compensation is?
Well, I think what you do is what's for the best interest of the Kansas City Chiefs. Man told me once, never pass up a good player. But also, if I can acquire some additional picks and in a draft that, you know, could or could not be deep, you know, I'll do that. But I'm going to do what's in the best interest for the Kansas City Chiefs future.
Does the fact that you don't have a second round pick factor into that too, for accumulating picks?
No, because I kind of look at that as that part of that was acquiring a all-pro quarterback. I think that was pretty good compensation. And who's to say that we won't have a second-round pick? You know, I mean, it's one of those scenarios. You know, all of a sudden you're on the clock and you get phone calls because there's this player or this player is there. And then you have to weigh the value of the players versus the compensation that's being offered, and then you make those decisions.
Do
Well, I think what you do is you do your due diligence. I think you call all 31 teams and just let them know, you know, if something happens and you'd like to move up or if you'd like to move down, you know what? Our phones are always open.
We've got them. I think the media, probably fans, are ready for this draft to happen. Did you have shortages? Was it beneficial to you?
Yeah, I mean, what you have to do in this scenario is – don't overthink it. I mean, you could overthink it in 2 weeks. That's the one thing. I think you have to have you have to be a little bit patient here. It gives you a little bit extra time to do certain legwork that maybe you felt you were rushed on, let's say like in last year's draft. I think it gives you a little bit more time to relax, recharge, just kind of sit back. Don't overthink it is the easiest way to put it.
When's an ideal time for the draft, in your opinion? When are you ready to have a draft?
In the spring.
So this is a good time for you, though.
Right? You know what? Every personnel guy loves the draft. I mean, because you have a chance to help your organization to build and add quality players to that. And that's kind of what the whole thing is about, is trying to get your team better as you go along here. It doesn't make a difference to me. Whatever the rules are, whatever the game, you know, whatever the cards that are dealt to you, I think you got to play by those rules, and that's kind of what we're playing by those rules.
How many names do you have on your board this year?
Good question. I would say anywhere about 150 to 175. Quality over quantity. I mean, that's kind of the way it should be.
If it happened today, if the draft were today, is there anybody you're salivating over, willing to sell your soul for to get with what you see?
Well, there's a lot of them up there I'm salivating. I don't know if they can. If they were there at 23, I would say, okay, I'll get those. But no, I don't think there's a lot of good football players in this draft. It's just not up in the top part of the draft. But I think from a value-based perspective, there are players to be had, like I said earlier, in every specific round. There's good players to be had.
How different is your approach to this draft compared to last year when you're at the top of every round, basically?
About 22 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd prefer to be down. I'd prefer to be at the back third on a consistent basis. Last year was very unique. Hopefully it never happens again. You have a new coaching staff. You're trying to understand the philosophical positions of your personnel staff. You're trying to understand what it takes to be successful within this scheme, both offensively and defensively. Now I have a clearer understanding of both offense and defensive scheme. I think the best analogy would be is, in my mind, I always had a cookie-cutter image of what a 3-4 defensive end is supposed to be like. But in Coach Sutton's defense, he has a big 5 technique end and a 3 technique defensive end. Two distinct different, you know, players to play those positions to succeed. There's a high degree of success because the personnel staff is like-minded thinking. The coaching staff is like-minded thinking. There's great communications between both staffs. It's the one-year cycle you're in, and it's I sleep better at night because my family's here. Therese, you need a haircut, too.
No, I like it.
Okay.
Kind of piggyback on that, I think the Jets kind of surprised some people when they took Sheldon Richardson last year. I think people saw him as a 3 technique, you know, prototypical 3 technique.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes out and wins the Rookie of the Year. I mean, for a 3-4 team, you think, you know, with the way the league is passing now, like some 3-4 teams might be more tempted to go for guys who don't necessarily – fit the confines of the 3-4, but if you can rush the passer, if you're a player, we'll make it work to you?
Well, no, I think the game is – I think that's a good question because the game has truly been extended out. The speed of the game has gotten a lot faster. Anytime you can get internal pressure with the pass rush, I think that's critical because it helps those defensive backs in the secondary as well. So anytime you can get a interior pass rusher, there's some added value within that pick.
And it's even better if the guy's a three-down player, like a big, you know, like still speaking of the interior tackles, if the guy can play the run the first two down and then play, you know, nickel, stay on the field, I mean, what kind of value does that bring?
Sounds like a first-round pick to me.
And also, with the way the league's passing out still, is it important, how much more important is it to find inside linebackers that can cover in space or pick up running backs or tight ends and feel comfortable really crashing down hard on these crossing routes that are going crazy in the league?
Again, the game has changed, and it means the speed of the game has changed. And I think it's imperative that your inside backers be able to have those athletic traits with quickness and speed and agility to actually succeed in the pass defense that, that you ask him to do.
A couple more, guys.
John, did you get a chance to watch Alex Smith's commencement speech last night?
You know what? I told you all this last year, and I mean this. I haven't watched TV, listened to the radio, or picked up a paper in like 6 weeks. I heard about it. Ted told me about it, but I heard about it. I'm sure he did a fine job.
Anything else?
John, what's your guys' philosophy on visits? You know, you get 30 or whatever visits to the facility from players. I mean, do you use all those? Do you use them on any particular players?
No, I mean, it's not specific on how we do it. I think it's good that you use all 30 of them. If you use all 30 because if you have unanswered questions and you'd like maybe the coaching staff to meet them and they didn't have a long, one-on-one session with them, let's say at the combine or the scout, may have had some questions that needed to be answered. Or there's other guys who, let's say, may have been overlooked, may need a medical on them. I mean, it's horse apiece in terms of why you bring guys in here, but there's specific reasons why they come in.
So for like your first round pick, a high pick, you guys wouldn't have to, you know, visit with them here before you drafted them?
No, not necessarily. Not if you've done all your due diligence and your homework. I mean, you have ample opportunity to kind of get to know these players as the spring season goes along. All the work that your scouts have done, you know, I think you have ample enough time, but I think if there's some open-ended questions that need to be addressed, I think you may do that.
Given the fact you don't have a second-round pick, I know you're going to make the best pick for the Chiefs. I get that. But as part of the decision, like part of the way you do that, I'm asking, is if since you don't have a second-round pick, is there even more, and you didn't spend a ton of money in free agency, is like even more important to make sure you get a guy that can contribute from day one? I mean, how much of a long-term pick can you make in the first round considering those circumstances?
Define long-term pick.
Immediate impact.
Okay.
You have to get it. Could you draft a guy that you could wait on a little bit to develop, or do you even have to find someone that you think you'd be more comfortable fitting in?
Well, I mean, you know, you would like to get a slam dunk. I mean, that's all personnel guys' objective. I think what you have, though, is you have a unique coaching staff who are very good teachers, and that helps in the process along the way. Being I'm a half full, the glass is half full guy. I believe everybody that we select is going to help the Kansas City Chiefs.
Last one, Reed.
John, can you just speak more to the confidence with all the variables from last year, obviously from first pick to 23rd pick, and the timing of the draft, just the confidence that you have in your staff and how prepared you are for this upcoming draft, and then how you evaluate your personnel team's job.
What I find interesting and what I'd like to do is say thank you. I think I've said this, but thank you to the personnel staff and the coaching staff for all the hard work that they have put in this whole entire process, because it is a very arduous task. It is very long. It's turned into, you know, a year-long cycle as we speak. With that being said, I'm very comfortable with this personnel staff. Because, again, like I said earlier, it's a like mindset. They all understand what the total objective is of the organization. They understand how I would like things to be done. I think that's very important. They understand that when we sit in those draft room, it's time for discussion. Anything can be said. You know, whatever you feel, your piece, don't hold anything back, because at the end of the day, we've had all that discussion. You've had a chance to have your put. So if you think something makes a difference, say it, and this is why. And I think that's important, and that's where, you know, communication comes into play. But at the end of the, you know, but at the end of the day, everybody said it, and the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make the selection.
Do you have, with all the information that's been crammed in your head by yourself, by your scouts, by everybody, as you're sitting there right now, do you have a player in your head that you want at 23?
Oh, I'm glad you clarified. I was going to say I got about 500 or so players in my head. You know, you have a wish list. But, again, those things have to unfold in a perfect scenario. And then, you know, it's better to put a group of them together and all of a sudden, if one falls, don't make immediate reaction. Make a factual decision as opposed to an emotional decision. When you make knee-jerk reactions and you haven't thought all of these variables out, that's when you're going to make mistakes in this thing.
Okay. So we saw a draft camp.
Okay.
Lead up to the draft pick.
Yes, sir.
We're never going to see John Dorsey go, ah, they just took my guy.
I did that yesterday. You don't do that on draft day. No, I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you know what? It's all there. Just there, let it all play itself out. And then, you know, you sit there and, you know, assess it and analyze it. And, you know, you're going to have deep thought about, okay, what's best in the long-term future. I mean, that's how you think through these things. Yes, sir.
Have your expectations for that group changed, having had them in and knowing what they're about for a year?
I think, again, I said this earlier, I think, you know, to truly assess any draft class, it's going to take 3 years in the system. Like I said in the past, and I'll say it today, I'm very happy with this class. And, you know, I look forward to great things from these guys coming up here in this training camp. Mm-hmm.